ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I have Juan Martinez, the founder of JMS Soccer Academy and president of DKSC. We jump into this episode and we get going straight into what JMS is. And I don't feel like we covered everything we could have. We talked for well over 2 hours and we probably could have talked for another 2 hours. I feel like there's a lot here for everyone to gather something from, to learn something from. And if this is something you're interested for your homeschool athlete or transitioning your athlete to a homeschooled athlete, this might be a program that's great for you. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
Hello, my name is Juan Martinez. I'm the founder of JMS Soccer, longtime coach in North Texas. Grew up playing in Boys Classic League in the late 80s, early 90s. So started a club independent team back in 2005. And so now I run DKSC, but I am the founder of JMS Soccer.
Awesome. So JMS Soccer, let's talk about what it is. So give me background of what JMS is, JMS Soccer is, and why did you start?
Yeah. So JMS stands for Juan Martinez Soccer, but it's more than just soccer. It's I consider it more like a JMS services. Just the way it was started was after many years of coaching, I was looking to retire from competitive soccer coaching. And I realized that I had built a good network of college recruiting and international scouts and didn't want that to go in vain. So in 2018, I became JMS, and it was more for character building, you know, providing training, the mental toughness, and then provide college recruiting, because back then in 2018, college recruiting for female athletes began in seventh and eighth grade. So that's the reason JMS was created, was just to serve players, you know, they're chasing their dreams. In 2020 with COVID, the doors shut and didn't bring it back until 2023. In 2020, I stepped into the role of president of DKSC Soccer Club. So I had retired. So I was running JMS for 2 years before COVID shut the doors. And in 2023, I decided to bring it back. So that's what JMS is. It has a lot of programs. One of the sayings for JMS that I use is empty the bucket and just bucket list. When you get older, you want to empty the bucket. You want to cross off, check off the bucket list. So some of the things that I do envision is that anything that I wanted to do, now's the time. Now I have some resources, I have some experience. So all the programs that JMS is just to provide many services to players, whatever needs or wants they're wanting. So it's almost like a one-stop shop.
Awesome. Now, with JMS, sport, you said soccer. I want to say surface. Surfaces, because that's what you said.
Yeah.
With this, it has a lot of different programs falling underneath it. So how did you decide you talked about it briefly there, but to fully bring it back and actually who you are today and why you're doing what you're doing today?
All right. So I think it's a lot of times something comes from a small idea. And throughout the years as I was coaching, I started realizing that there's like elite players that have more discipline and have bigger goals and they're running a different race. So I actually started creating my team that I coach, naming them after the Brazil selection. So the top team was called, you know, Kickcell. And so I started bringing that to identify which players had that discipline, the talent. So that vision there, when I stopped coaching, it was like, I want to create, you know, Selecao. So JMS Selecao, part of one of the programs is to identify the elite players that are chasing big goals and then put them in environments that they could compete on the international stage. So every program that we comes from just an idea, and from that idea is like thinking more about it, asking other coaches their opinions. I'm a believer, so in everything that I do, I pray. I pray about every initiative, every program. So all the programs that we have just started from a simple idea, maybe it was 5-6 years ago. Just for example, JMS, when I had in 2018, I was not trying to create JMS Academy. I wasn't trying to create JMS Studio. It was just like, okay, times the sport grows, it changes, the parents' needs change. So I'm very in tune. What's the parent customer looking for? And then what's my talents, gifts, and resources? And to just provide a service for the parent and the player.
Nice. Now, we are going to start talking about this latest chapter with JMS. You have started which is very exciting as a parent here in the DFW Metroplex. I don't know if you even want to call it a school, more of an academy. But let's start opening up this door here and start talking about the program that you just started this past August.
JMS Academy, for one thing, I would just say it's not a school. All we're doing is training during school hours. So it's more of a training, elite training program for players to be able to come train during the day. We have to provide an environment where they could still do their school, because school is important. The soccer ball is going to stop rolling for everybody, but we don't do the curriculum for school. All our students do various homeschool programs, Texas Tech K-12, iPrep. There's several homeschool programs. So we are not a school. We're more of a training program, trying to create a professional training environment for players to chase their dream. And my daughter, as she was traveling with the U15, U17 Youth Mexico National Team, she had to stop going to private school parish to do homeschool to allow her to do all her travels. Samantha Mess is a player that I coached. She was on a youth U.S. national team, and she stopped going to school to chase those dreams. And so that's where the idea came about. I don't want to do the school with teachers and that responsibility and that red tape. So we just want to create an environment that it's for training. It's not that we don't care about school, because school is very, very important. We tell the kids, if you don't take care of your school, you're not going to be able to come and do academy train, because school's got to come first. So we have blocks for them to set up so they could go in there. We have Robert Lopez, that was a former teacher. Marissa Resendez, it's a former player, played Division I. She comes in and they stay in the classroom, making sure that the kids are doing their work. They're not clowning around. If they need to go outside to a place where it's more just isolated, their environment, we allow them, but we continuously check on their work. So we're not a school, but we just provide environment so they could do their schoolwork.
Nice. And now, with them being able to have a place to do their schoolwork and do soccer training more, how do you feel their academic? I know you're more into the soccer side of things, and this is just an avenue for them to do their schooling, but do you put requirements on them to maintain a certain GPA to be part of this program, to make sure that they're upholding their side of it? Are you mostly focusing on the sports side?
Yeah, I'm mostly focusing on the sports side, but with soccer, it's more of checking with the parents, how are they doing with their school, making sure that the players understand the discipline that it takes, that for you to be able to do your schoolwork continuously every day, asking them, are you done today? Start looking to get ahead on the weekend. Your grades, how are your grades? And so I didn't want to put like a standard that you have to have this kind of grade, because players learn differently. We have a player that struggles with school, so she has tutoring. So I didn't want to put a standard that if you don't have this, then you can't train. It's more talking to the parent and saying, are they going above and beyond on a school to take care of the soccer aspect? And there's some sessions where the kids skip the afternoon session to knock out school. I need a tutor. I need extra work. So I'm going to skip the 2 o'clock session. And it's very seldom, but we've told them you won't get punished. School comes first. So there's not a standard, but we don't definitely check it in. You know, my wife's a school teacher. My 3 kids all went to private school. So education's very, very important. The reality from me traveling to Portugal, Brazil, and meeting agents and the sport is that now there's an alternative to school. I guess COVID changed that. And the game that's growing so much, I've seen some of those contracts. And I look at it as a player, I was chasing that dream. But I always tell parents, it's not that you're saying, I'm going to be a professional soccer player. We have some players here. We have some players that are here that we're consistently letting them know that not everybody's going to be a professional. But if you're chasing that dream and then you go to college and get your education paid for, that's a good investment.
So let's walk through a typical day for these athletes. What time do they arrive and what time do they start their day then?
Correct. So doors open at 7 a.m. We usually have 2 athletes that have to be here at 7 for their mom, their parents to get to work. One of them is a school teacher. For her to get to her job, she has to drop them off at 7. So doors open at 7. We're usually here at 6:45. They go inside the classroom. Sometimes they take a nap. Sometimes they're just playing games or starting their schoolwork. But 8 o'clock, we start training on the field. 9 o'clock, Juan Robles is set up, and they go with Juan Robles for the strength and conditioning from 9 to 10. Every morning at 10 a.m., they go have fruit snacks to refuel, to build those habits. So we always cut up fruit, and I got that from going to Brazil. I saw Santos and Corinthians and Bahia. They're constantly like giving these kids right after they work out. There's fruit, I guess, to refuel. They usually have about 15 minutes to do that. Then they go in the classroom. They go from 10:15 to 11, 45 minutes. Then they get a 15-minute break. Usually that 15-minute break, they go on the fields, and they're with no shoes and kicking a big one of those medicine balls. They're playing soccer with that. Sometimes they just get in a circle and they're just socializing and building those friendships. Then they go back to their classroom 45 minutes. They come out, they go to lunch, they all eat together in lunch. Then they go back to the classroom. They have another break. They go back to the classroom. Some of them get done. Probably about half of them, they're like, we're already done for the day. We're already done. We're like, you're sure you're not telling me that? They tell me, look, coach, look, I'm done. So we emphasize during that time, they should work on their fundamentals. Not forcing them, but just if you're struggling with your left foot, if you're struggling with your first touch, nothing that's too strenuous, or if you just want to relax, that's fine. Be a kid. Play video games. I see them playing video games. They play against each other. Wow, we're playing each other, and they're from one side to the other side, and I hear them. And so then they train at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock is the afternoon session. That goes about to 3:15. Then probably about half of them get picked up. The other half stay here, and the parents get off. Pickup is no later than 5 o'clock, and that's Monday through Friday.
So every day, is it every day for these kids? Are you have coaches coming in working with them? You said you had Juan Robles come in and work with the athletes. Is there other coaches that come in and work on different parts of the game with them? Do you have someone come in and work with what type of program? Is there, I know you sent me, hang on before I say anymore. Make sure I'm not, let's see if I can share it. Let's see if I can get this right. Where did it go? I guess those are the same thing. It's all his stuff. Do you have a particular curriculum set up every day so that they can work on different aspects of the game? I know that you talked about Juan Robles coming in and working with them, but is there other things that you do? Because it looks like that is more of a strength and conditioning program with him. So what on the soccer side, what do they come in and work on throughout the week for soccer? Yeah. Is it different every day or what do we do?
So the staff is always here. Guillermo Hall, he's a professional coach from Argentina, worked with Valle, impressive resume. He's developed some players that have gone on to win the World Cup, last World Cup with Argentina. So he's here Monday through Friday. Robert Lopez, he's former school teacher, has been coaching probably about 10, 15 years. He has a franchise with America Nido Aguila, so he takes several players to America for tryouts. His daughter today is traveling to Mexico with the youth national team, U13. So him wanting her to be in this environment allowed him to come in as a staff coach to be with the students. So he's very helpful answering some questions on the school, showing them how to turn in work, all those things. So Robert Lopez is always here. And then we have Marissa. Marissa Resendez is a former JMS student from 2018. She went off to play Midwestern State, I believe, Division I. She never played for me. I didn't coach her. I just coached her at JMS. She has a master in sports management. And so she comes on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursdays. So 3 days out of the 5 days, Marissa's here. That's a staff. And yes, we have a program that every day we understand we're with elite athletes training, and they also have their team practice. So then they also have their games. So one of the things is when I went to Portugal and Brazil, I saw kids and I would ask them, how often do you train them? And they're like, we train every day and then one game a week. And I saw the physical aspect, the nutrition aspect, the technical, the tactical, all those, the mental, I saw all those things. And I would ask a lot of the questions and I wanted to make sure that we're not over training athletes, because growing up, I had no idea on the physical side. I pushed players like if they were robots, like no pain, no gain, no days off. It was, and I ended up getting a lot of injuries. That was with the oldest group I coached. The next age group, it was more, I need a strength and conditioning coach. And I learned a lot of the science. It's the proper recovery. If you work out an athlete, if they have proper recovery, they're ready to jump back up. And so on Mondays, we felt during the season, these months, they're in season. They could have one game if they play on Saturday, or they could have two games if they play Saturday and Sunday. So on Mondays, we basically said, okay, it's going to be Monday mental Monday. And the 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock session that we're on the field, it's more of an active recovery. So it's not intense. Juan Robles comes in 9 and 10. So he has his program set out. and I totally trust Juan, what he does. And then the 2 o'clock session, we go into more of mental topics. I'm a big fan of Brett Ledbetter and Becky with Arthur's founders of What Drives Winning. And so topics as far as stop comparing and start competing. A lot of players feel like they're always comparing and it's just the cliche, you're running your own race, but having them understand that. And a lot of times people say iron sharpens iron. It's true, but in this environment that they're seeing each other, we're like, it's not you versus you. Yes, you're trying to be better than you were yesterday. It's not you versus them. It's more you with them. Pull each other up. When you have somebody that's going to a national team, Cam, she's making you better. How do you make her better? When it's time to compete, don't go easy. Maximum effort, pressure to not make it easy. So Monday, we talk about that. Last Monday, we had them write a letter to competition as if it was a person. And some of these, using some of the things that they were looking at, that it's not versus me or me versus you, is me with you. It started becoming, I need you competition to bring out the best of me. And so we did that this past week. We talked about pressure. And it's like writing that letter to pressure as if it was a person. And how does pressure make them feel? Because pressure, like you said, it's a cliche, it's a privilege. They have to deal with it. If it's self-imposed, parent-imposed, teammate, environment, the standard or the game, if it's a championship game, they got to know how to deal with it and knowing that it's more of a something that they control. So that's the afternoon session. We try to make sure that we're holistically developing all players in all 5 faces. And mental, I feel as you get older, is the most important face. So we're trying to get them at a younger age groups to understand the mental side. So we do that. So that way then they're not over training. Tuesday when they come in, Tuesday and Wednesday, they're in that. Make sure you recover. Get a good night rest, at least 8 hours. Take naps. Some of these kids take naps after 3:15. They take a nap because then they're going to go home, do whatever they need to do. But Tuesday and Thursdays, it's a lot of the game situations. Our goal is to teach them a clear understanding of the game to improve their decision-making. I feel decision-making is the number one skill. So we consistently, what are you thinking? How are you solving? So it's very much decision-making. Wednesday afternoon session, since most kids would train on Tuesday and Thursday, we feel Tuesday's heavy. So on Wednesday in the afternoon session, we go into tactical. So tactical session on Wednesday, and that could be in the classroom, it could be on the field, but we feel that if we do tactical Wednesday afternoon, whatever we're working on Wednesday tactical, that becomes on Thursday morning what we apply on the field. And then Fridays is more of their competitive games, fun, competitive, because we feel like you should compete in everything you do. So that's like an active recovery. Friday is the only day that Juan Robles doesn't come in, but he has an app that it really takes him about 30 minutes to go through it. It's a stretching. We do it as a group. So everybody gets by the TV in our weight room. They get a mat and they stretch, and we emphasize the importance of that. So again, Friday is just recovery, fun games, competitive to get them ready for their competition.
My gosh. It's a packed week.
Yeah. It goes by fast. We're in our 5th week, and it seems like it goes fast. It goes super fast.
So how do you feel? Let's start off with, I forgot to ask this earlier. How many students do you currently have, or athletes do you have enrolled in this program?
We currently have 12. We have 3 males and 9 girls. They're ages from 12, 13, and 14. So the group that we have, when we assembled the group, we felt that they have to demonstrate a level to be able to keep up, and plus the discipline. It's not for everybody. We also made a decision to focus on quality versus quantity. We felt that the environment, if we focus on quality, we would produce a lot more fruit.
So do you, I know this is in the beginning stages, this is your first year. Is there a goal to have a certain number of players here? Is it a goal to have a full roster here so you can have teams working together so they can get camaraderie among each other coming in? Or is the goal to make it player specific so that they can more focus on themselves and not in the team environment.
Yeah, it's definitely more personal growth, individual, not team. Our goal is probably to grow to 20 athletes of the same level. And what I mean level is just becomes an NL player, RL. Maybe the NL player is more physically, more technical, but we feel that the RL players just need 3-6 months to catch up, but they have a level there. So our goal is to keep it as an individual program and not turn it into a team. Because if we do that, then it becomes we really can only service one team, maybe two teams. Ideally, if a lot of individuals naturally, organically just show up, then it becomes on the tactical side, you're able to teach some things and they'll benefit more because they play on the same team. And when we talk about roles and responsibilities of every position, the characteristics of every position, it becomes like, okay, there's a team. You could demonstrate a lot more there, but that's not our goal. Our goal is to keep it as individual based as much as possible.
With that, I'm looking at this as a parent looking into it. So they get about what? Did I do my math right? About 3 hours of soccer a day?
Correct.
Coming through, and they have about 3 hours of education time. Maybe a little bit varies depending on the age and what level of schooling they're in, because I know when you're homeschooled, you can get your day done anywhere from 2 to 4 hours, depending on the age. Some groups are a little bit longer, but not much more than that. Do you find that being there with these athletes, having these opportunities to play soccer, that motivates them to be efficient with their time and wanting to go play because they have the opportunity? It's right there in front of them. Or do you think that they get excited for their schoolwork and then they go play? I can only imagine how I would have been, but I'm looking at it in reality at the moment for y'all.
Yeah, I feel most of these, I would say half of them were already doing homeschool. Half the players that registered, they were already homeschool. And they were, we get our day done and we go in the backyard and we get ready for practice. This is exactly what I was looking for. I was looking for something that I feel I'm developing. The coaching has a lot of experience with developing professional players. And then kids are social. When they're around other kids, they build those friendships. They have a social life. So we're trying to create that environment where we're going to celebrate the birthdays. And if there's a game that's an important game during the day, we use that game to analyze tactically what the teams are doing. But I think for the most part, that balance of getting their schoolwork done, and they're very disciplined. And we made it clear with the parents that it takes a disciplined kid that has clear set goals to be able to do the online, be self-motivated. And if they're not, we're going to talk to the parents. And if it's not something that they could do, again, we're trying to keep the standard that we're not like babysitting kids that you need that extra push. And these kids really have impressed me with their commitment and their energy. Parents tell me, I can't believe they have so much energy. We're not consistently just doing the physical. And I've seen the difference from week one where they were just like sore and dragging to now, they're not feeling any soreness. And it's because we're working on like the injury prevention, their hamstrings becoming stronger. So again, to me, the year so far in 5 weeks couldn't have gone better from a balance and everything that they're doing.
Do you find that these athletes are, what's the word I'm looking for? Taking what you're teaching in the on the pitch classroom, I'll phrase it that way, and playing with it on their own and having the opportunity to be creative with it because they have the capability when they're done with their schoolwork to be creative.
I'm sorry. And what was the question again?
I'll phrase it a different way. With them being able to be in your facility and having coaches around and ask questions and do everything they're going to do, do you find these athletes or seeing them? It's been 5 weeks. 5 weeks is a long enough period of time to see their creativity come out. Do you find that these athletes are finding more times to be creative? And I'm going to take the step a little bit one step farther and ask, are you seeing it translate to the soccer pitch?
Oh, definitely. I'm a big fan of Brazil soccer growing up. Just never saw them play, but videos, VHS tapes, and Pelé. And then so following that canary yellow and throughout the 90s. And so the creativity player, I was a center mid. And so one of the things that we talk about is that we don't want to kill the creativity. So what we see is that in some sessions, we just let them play. There's some sessions this week, for example, they came in Monday and we felt like they were just really not into the sessions as in previous weeks. And we're like, man, it's not like they're tired, but we were like questioning. And then Juan Robles came in and he was coming at 9 o'clock and we told him, and he says, they've hit the mental block. He goes, when kids are in something after 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you have to give them something else and just like that freedom. And we're like, that's exactly it. Cause then we started reading up on it. He says, if I have a team and I'm only seeing them on Tuesday and Thursdays, I'm hitting them hard every single time. He goes, but if you're seeing them Monday through Friday, he goes, now intentionally on week four, we have to tone it down with what we're teaching tactically, mentally, doing those sessions and allowing them to play. But we basically, I'm a big believer in pickup games and giving the player the decision maker to read the game. So when we don't give them instruction, and they're playing 3v3, 4v4, 5v5, if it's 5v5 plus one, whatever it is, and we have no coaching, we've actually seen, man, they've gotten better. They've gotten better. They've gotten better. And we see their creativity. And that's something that we feel don't take their creativity away. Players that are mastering their craft, I think you handicap them if you're like, you got to do this. They're not robots. There's a different ways to solve pressure and situations.
Now with this going into their sessions, so you went through their day and what the type of day they have. Do you have different days where you work on different techniques or different types of games like futsal or small-sided games that you focus more on to help these players see the game differently or through their motions differently to help them to stay engaged? Because I know I can't say, but it becomes a routine, and eventually routine becomes stagnant for kids and, right, and even adults. So do you have a process to help these kids process everything they're doing from different activities that they may be playing?
Yeah, we try to change it up as much as we can. And that's one of the reasons I think we focus on making sure that we're touching every face. So from the mental, from the technical, tactical, social, all these things, from the fun games on Friday, we try to switch it up. Sometimes we always use futsal balls at least twice a week. So we're constantly like, okay, here's a futsal ball, where we have basically two ball bags of futsal balls and one ball bag of size fives. So we mostly use 2 days, but it becomes with heading technique, working on those. We emphasize fundamentals, functional training. So we do some games where it's competitive games, but it's thinking outside the box, but making them, okay, I'm still working all these tools. For example, on Friday, fun day Friday, we haven't done this, but we've talked about it, going outside on the turf field and setting up a baseball diamond and basically having kickball, but you can't use your hands. So teams outside, and the only way to score is that you have to score a home run. So you can't stop on first, second, or third. You have to score in the field home run. And so the players on the outfield, you have to receive the ball, no hands, and you have to score a goal in a small goal almost by home. It goes, and so if you kick it farther, that means somebody's got to take that touch. Maybe it's a one touch because they see the player rounding second. And if they take a one touch, it's going to slow them down. So that decision making, then the execution part, and I did this with my ones. It was like they're working all these faces and the day goes by and they're tired. They're working on all those things, but they're having fun. They're being kids. So it's a huge tool that I believe in. That's why in the winter months, going inside gym, just being in a different surface, we're thinking about that. So definitely don't want it to become like it's the same routine in 5 weeks that we've been here. The feedback that we've gotten from parents has been amazing. We had one kid that said, I'm a come here till I graduate. And for a kid at 13 years old, you're like, that could change next year. But the feedback, they love it. I see the social aspect. There hasn't been no drama because we've initially already talked about the standard and how to treat each other and just the respect factor. And so it's been great, but definitely we make it intentional to change it up so it doesn't become the same routine.
Do you find, you just talked about a kid talking about wanting to be in this program until he graduates, with all the connections you have and the network that you've created, are you doing a find ways to get these kids into programs or help them be seen outside of your facility? Because at the end of the day, talent's talent. And at the end of the day, if they're talented, they need to be seen. And are you working with other organizations to bring into your program to have players be seen? Or this is a sidestep conversation, using technology to have these kids be seen within your facility, doing what they're doing, interviewing them, having conversations, and getting them ready for whatever club or youth national team might see them?
All right. JMS Services, it incorporates all those things. JMS Studio, it's social media. We live in it. The marketability from a player point of view is huge. So we partner with Shark Jockey to help players' families educate on their branding and creating that, and for name, image, likeness. So then the reason JMS Academy exists, it's to help the players that are aspiring to become pro or get their college paid for. And everything that we do is for them. When I coached my very first team, my parents consistently were being told, you're not going to get the college exposure because Juan doesn't have no network, no resources. And I told the parents, it's absolutely true. I have zero. It's my first team that I'm coaching. But guess what? You're 10 years old, so it doesn't matter. And I told them, if I can get you the exposure, I'll drive you myself to the big clubs because I have a daughter on the team too. So I want to do what's best for her. The team just happened to become the best team in North Texas and winning Girls Classic League, winning State Cup, winning regionals. Now next you know, we're in the spotlight. And then we start going to National League, competing there. College coaches will come to the sideline, and the girls are in 7th grade, 8th grade, and they're asking me for flyers, the profiles. And next you know, we had college scouts everywhere. And I felt that responsibility to network for each player that I have. That's already over 10, 12 years. And so everything that I do, the scouting, my daughter was on the Mexico national team. I know all the scouts. So players that are dual citizen, I'm going to vouch for them. Colombia, it's another. El Salvador, Canada. We currently have on my team a Brazilian player and Argentina player. So I'm already making those connections. But letting them know your game is your gatekeeper. If you don't work on your game, plus the sacrifice, it's not easy. You might have to give up the proms, the schools, the birthday parties, the quinceañeras. So educating the player and the parent that it does come with a big sacrifice. And it's not for everybody. If you're looking to get the high school experience, the high school homecomings, proms, homeschool, and national teams, not for you. But the connections that I have with agents, with international scouts, with college scouts, with former pros. All that is the reason why we're here, why we're doing this JMS Academy. So definitely that's our main purpose, is to open doors and connect players so they could, we're just a part of their journey, their dream.
Now, as a parent coming to you and looking at this as a parent, how do you share this information? Because that's a lot of information to put on a flyer or
definitely
a website, because I think some of this conversation is a personal conversation.
Right.
And it's very hard to convince a parent, say, look, I'm going to give you little Johnny, little Susie to come take care of them. We'll figure out the education process along the way. But what does it look like for you all trying to explain this to a parent?
Like, yeah, to me, I've heard this through a lot of people, is so-and-so is the gatekeeper of getting you into that door. So-and-so is there. And I have coaches that have told me, goes, why don't you promote more of your resources, connections, all these things? And for me, I feel that I'm not the gatekeeper. I have network. And so it's more about the players that have come in that are looking for homeschool. Then it becomes that personal. It's not marketing. It's just more talking to that parent. The first question that I ask them is, why would your kid come to an academy, a training program? So then the responses that I get, my kid has this goal and dream. Right? Immediately it becomes, are they willing to work harder than they're willing to dream for that? It's this sacrifice. I share my experience. My dream to be was a professional soccer player, and it consumed my life. that when I stopped playing in 92, I became depressed over the sport because everywhere I went, people would ask me what happened. And it wasn't bad. It was just they really felt that I was going to make it because how I obsessed over the sport. So I would tell parents there, I start educating them this. Then it becomes, we have a player that's a dual citizen from Mexico, El Salvador, and Colombia. And I told the parent, that's her dream. We're here to support it, but it's not our dream. And don't come to this training program thinking we're guaranteeing you to make that dream. It's going to require you to make that sacrifice. So then it's talking to the parent, to the player. Why do you want to be a professional soccer player? One of the answers that one of the players told me, he said, it was about a year ago, a little girl at the grocery store came to me as a grocery store. She pulled my shirt and I turned around and she says, I like the way you play. She goes, you know me? And he goes, yeah, I saw you. And she was with her dad. She goes, yeah, she likes you, the way she plays. They're probably in the same club. And so she says she got in the car and she told mom, how awesome would that be? That's your life as a professional soccer player. So I immediately said, man, that little girl had a huge impact on her. And she's just, so now I'm like letting her know, you could really make an impact if you have that platform. If you dream and you make it to pro, you could really have impact on the next generation. So it's not market, again, to bring in the numbers, because we want to make sure that the quality's there, but it's just partnering up and the education piece, then it becomes more one-on-one. And if I sat down here with you, if I'm talking to you as a dad, and I would show you, look, these USA identification scouts, they send message to me and says, what are your thoughts on the best defenders in the conference, North Texas? If I show you that they're asking me for my opinion, it becomes like, oh man, they value your opinion. But they're asking other directors too. I just don't want to use it like I'm the gatekeeper. Look at me. I feel, I've always said this, is that, again, I'm a believer and I've always prayed, Lord, have these divine interventions open. Doors have opened for me. I'm like looking at it, it's like, how did I go to Anson Dorn's house? How did I go to UNC and spend a whole week with them? How did Mexico women's head coach invite me over and I'm in the classroom with the selection team? How does he share the methodology? How does all these things? And it becomes, it's not me. Is the Lord blessing me? So I try not to look at me. I'm the gatekeeper. It's more education. Parents tell other parents, man, he's well connected. And I hear that and I'm like, hey, y'all stop. Like, it's not me. It's the Lord opening doors for me. And I'm going to use those to help as many players that are chasing their dreams.
They do all the work, all the sacrifice. That's been the most inspiring, is the players.
Hey, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. Sitting down with Juan once again is always great. I've gotten to know him very well over the years since our first initial interview, and we've always stayed in touch. I've always asked him questions. So for him to restart his JMS Soccer Academy is a great thing for our soccer community. Stay tuned for next week's episode. I'm not doing a recap too much more right now because it's a two-part series where I recap so much. But I hope you all will listen to next week's episode.
Hey, everyone. If you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review. Share this. Share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.